Hello and welcome to the New Moon Tarot reading for the new moon that fell just over 5 hours ago at 7:24 a.m. British Summer Time, and it is Friday the 1st of April. I normally start with a little bit of a preamble, but my sense of it is to just get straight into the reading with the standard introduction for those of you who are new to the reading. So for those of you who are an old hand at the New Moon Tarot readings, please feel free to skip to the first timestamp and then you'll get on to the reading itself. I'm going to just do a little outline of the way that I read, because even if you've heard this before, it's well worth having a reminder so that not too much of the mental gymnastics about the reading are on the process itself, but rather on the message. So you can, you know, you have a fairly good idea of what's going on and why, and then once you know that, then you can just listen to what it is that the cards are bringing this particular month. So in terms of the process, it is a three-card reading. I always read with the same card positions firmly in mind, and that is that the first card is the foundation to the reading. Now, the foundation suggests, in other words, that it has already happened. This is in the recent past or the distant past or both. It is something that we are bringing in that is going to, in some way, have an influence on the second card. So, and I'll get to that just now. So the foundation card has, we don't really have that much control over it simply because it has happened or is in the process of happening. But it is key. It is key because it unlocks the rest of the reading. It's the gateway through which the other two cards unfurl. And then, so it unlocks the gateway to the second card, which is the weather card or the theme card for this month. And the theme may be writ large or small in your life. It may not take up a lot of physical space. It may not take up a lot of time, but that doesn't mean that it isn't significant. So the theme, it may pass with the scantest of significance at this moment in time, in this month, but the repercussions may be really big. And so I wouldn't necessarily look for something that comes in announcing itself loudly, though if it does, then that's great. But it is something that may be quite subtle, but quite familiar, or quite subtle and quite new, but it's almost new as in the emerging out of the ground of a shoot, of a shrub that you are not familiar with. So it, as I said, it doesn't have to come in fully grown, but in some way it serves the sole purpose of the reading and of how that reading reflects something in you and your own sole purpose. So that is the foundation leading on to card number two, which is the theme. And then the final card, card number three, is the card where you are kind of given, not given back some control. That sounds like in some way, you know, there's a power that be that is beneficently allowing you to interact with the reading meaningfully. That's not it. But it's where you can interact with the reading meaningfully instead of simply seeing something unfold like a narrative on the page in front of you. It's when you can connect with that narrative, where you become part of the narrative. It's the point, it's the touch point where you are able to in some way engage meaningfully and in a way that is meaningful for you. It may not be meaningful for anyone else. But it is the agency card. It's where you have agency over what it is that's unfolding. It is where you and your soul, yourself with a capital S, as Jung would say, are acting in unison or have the capacity to do that. So on to the first card, which is the foundation card. Remember, this is something that has happened, is in the process of happening, but it is one that you can't really change because it is the basis for exactly what's going to be going on this month. And that is the Ace of Discs. The Ace is great as a card that is in the foundation position because the Ace itself is the foundation of its particular suit. And the Ace of Discs, as the foundation of the disc suit, is the foundation for everything that we experience in this world. And that it may be tangible, so it may be the earth that you walk on, it may be the money that you hand over at the cashier, But it is also how we experience ourselves, how we experience others, how we experience the relationships that we have with others, because we're still dealing with the physical world there. And so the ace being the potential, it is a blueprint for every single way that the discs express themselves. Every single way that the discs manifest, the ace is under there. And so therefore the ace is in this strange position where it simultaneously exists in its myriad forms, but it also doesn't exist. The ace itself lies outside of time and space and is the blueprint then from which every iteration of the aces emanates. So the ace of discs is an interesting card as the foundation, because it both suggests something with the potential for coming into being, and I would say here that that conception, that just the moment before conception, is very much encapsulated by the ace, and that may be an actual biological conception, but it could be the conception of anything. It can be the conception of anything that is material. So the ace is that moment there, but it is something that we need to interact with meaningfully in order for it to, well, not necessarily, I mean, it may manifest, but in order for us to be aware of it. The ace requires our interaction with it to a greater or lesser extent. Sometimes it won't manifest. It won't. But I hesitate to say that, because I honestly believe that that things turn out the way that they're supposed to, that there are no mistakes. And by saying, well, if we don't notice, then the ace won't manifest, then it suggests that there, in some way, there's been an error in how you have interacted with the ace, which I think is just bullshit, actually. I just think that's complete bullshit. What I will say is that we have levels of awareness of ourselves and others in the world that mean that we can either interact with the ace. It depends to the depth to which we interact. And again, this, it sounds judgy, doesn't it? But, and I don't mean it that way. Oh, well, some of you will be able to interact meaningfully and some of you won't be able to interact meaningfully. I think that's bullshit too. We all are victims of repetition. We all do that. There is a reason why one of the core features of psychoanalysis is the idea of repetition compulsion. There is no mistake why when we all are faced with the idea of repetition and repeating patterns, that every single one of us can roll our eyes and go, oh my goodness, yes, I know that one well. We all repeat things. It is part of the human, it's part of the human condition that we do that. And so I'm not entirely sure why I'm talking about repetition compulsion this much, so I'm going to trust that the rest of the reading is falls somewhere in line with that idea of repetition compulsion, or the idea of repetition compulsion is something that feels familiar to some of you who are listening to this. But really, there is something here about bringing something in that has the potential to be different or new. It's the difference between having the same old weeds or, you know, or plants. I don't really want to judge too much. The same old stuff coming up, which may be, I mean, they say that weeds are just flowers growing in the wrong place, and that's true. It's in terms of the same old can be something that was incredibly valuable, or you enjoyed it when it came up the first time, but then the second time that it did, it's not particularly pleasant. And that's just simply because there is a part of you that is wanting something different. And it's not really to do with the thing that was there, though it can be, but it is about wanting something different. And then why is it that the same thing is coming up again? And I think that here in this particular card, there is the potential for something else to emerge. But really, that is going to call on each of us to interact meaningfully with it, even if as meaningful as it gets is knowing what it is that has happened before and before and before and before that, is simply just having the awareness of the pattern itself. So the Ace of Discs talks about this birthing, and as again, it may have nothing to do with patterns. It may be the birthing of something entirely new. It may be a physical birth that, you know, that is coming up 9 months down the line. But I think with the Ace of Discs and the fact that it is a new beginning, the potential for a new beginning, and it is in the realm of the physical world, and the Aces suggest that we need to bring consciousness to them in order, if we want to bring more, if we want to in some way reap the rewards of what it is that's coming through, it's to bring consciousness, even if the consciousness is not so much about the thing that's coming through, but the blocks that we have that prevent us from fully experiencing the thing that's coming through. So it may be, for example, that the Ace is the start of a new venture, but part of what happens is that a new venture is very often stymied, perhaps, by fears of going into the new. We are ambivalent creatures. We are prone to repetition. We are prone to ambivalence. And these are the things that work hand in hand. You know, they very often go together. And the ambivalence is that on one hand, we want change so much. And on the other hand, we will resist change forcefully. We want it and we don't want it. We welcome it and we'll do everything to keep it away from the door. You know, we are wanting to grow and yet we want to stay safe. You know, it's all of those things. Please let me get the things that I want. Please don't ask me to give up something I don't want to give up, or that in some way I am depending on or relying on, or I may not even need it anymore, but my goodness, it has become so much a part of the scenery in my lifetime. I cannot imagine what my life would look like and who I would be without it. So these are the things that come up around the Ace. You know me, I'm not really one for going into sort of the straightforward ease of the way that things come up. The Ace isn't just about, oh, lovely, new beginnings. Not for me, anyway. The Ace is about new beginnings and then the awareness of what it is that we do around new beginnings. What are your behaviours around new beginnings? I think that that might be a question that is worth asking. What are your behaviours around new beginnings? What are your behaviours, and these might be different, around things that that are out of your control, so new things that come along that you've had no hand in, apparently. How do you feel about those things normally? And then how do you feel about the ones where you have a hand in them, where you are wanting them to come about? And is there a difference between the two? Or are there similarities? And are those similarities significant? So the Ace of Discs, about new beginnings, but I think also with this figure firmly planted on this rock, and you know, under which the Ace is buried, is the human condition around new beginnings. The fact that this person is looking out at this distant star, but the Ace is right under their feet. That there is something about all of the hopes and dreams and desires that we have, but not actually grounding them in a sense of what's already here, of wishing upon a star, but not actually wanting what it might bring you here. So we can forever look out into the distance, into the cosmos, and wait for the thing that we're waiting for, so that we can avoid looking at what's already here and the fact that what we are waiting for is just in a different guise. It very often comes down to the idea of what we need rather than what we want. And very often, when you go through this journey of life, with the intention of finding out more about life and finding out more about yourself, when you start out, lots of wants, lots of gazing at distant stars, wanting to reach them. And then understanding the next phase, that you don't get what you want, you get what you need. And then understanding that what you got has changed what you want. And you don't actually want that distant star anymore because you got something else. And in fact, the thing that you needed that you got may be the thing that you want now. Or it may be that you want something entirely different, or maybe you don't really want much at all. So it's about what you want versus what you need and how the ace plays into this. And this is foundational. So this is what you're coming in with. Where is it that in your life there has been some kind of foundation of gazing on distant stars, reaching for something, and then not achieving it, and then looking at what it is that is right under your feet, that is ready to come in, and your attitude towards that? What has happened? What hasn't happened? How have you felt about it? What has come into being? And how is it that this is now going to serve the current weather? So the Ace of Discs, conception. That is the foundation. And we are now moving into the current weather, which is card number 2. So this is in some way going to define your experience on a large or small scale, either way significant, going forward. And this month's weather is the 3 of Swords, which is sorrow. Now, what's really interesting for me with this one is that the figure remains the same size, Ace of Discs, on this hill, and then in the 3 of Swords is behind this door. And the light source of the star, well, it's kind of turned into 2 different light sources, but they have been obscured by this door. And I always think it's a door. I don't think it's a wall. I don't know why. I think it's probably, it almost feels like the perspective of a child, that when you were little, you couldn't see the whole door. So all you saw was this sort of lower part of the door in front of you. And it almost looks like that there's a gap underneath where the floor, you know, continues on. But there is this idea of sorrow. And I'm going to read the card and then I'm going to explain what how I view sorrow in terms of the card interpretation. So the words on the card are, there are very few. They are not clear and sorrow and doubt. I like the fact that actually not clear and doubt are two very different things from sorrow themselves. I think a lot of times when people see the 3 of Swords, all they think about is heartbreak. I want to reframe that a little bit, because I think that this heartbreak has already happened. This is not something, it's something that you know really well. And the reason why I say this is because the threes are really much closer to the spirit world, much closer to the ace than further down the line, obviously, the eights, nines, tens. And they are a remembrance of separation in this. The 3 of Swords is a remembrance of separation. So on a quite meta level, it's the remembrance of separation from the oneness of the womb. On a more spiritual level or a religious level, it's the remembrance of separation from God. But if you're not spiritual, religious, and like me, perhaps seated in the psychological, it's the separation that happens when we are birthed, when we leave the comfort of the womb and come out. And so there is forever imprinted in our memories this feeling of sublime oneness that I think most of us, you know, if it's not resolved through good parenting or through a stable family life, is something that we forever seek after. I call it the hole in the soul. It is that idea of feeling incomplete, but the incompletion is one that we can never get back, because it harks back to a time that is before anything that we couldn't do anything about it then. We can't do anything about it now. What we can do is in some way bear the sorrow of the 3 of Swords. And by bear, I don't mean that you know, you just stand there stoically while the swords cut you apart. I don't mean that at all. And in fact, you know, if that's how you're feeling, then go and speak to somebody. That is really important. But rather, to bear the sorrow of the 3 of Swords is to bear the knowing and the feeling of being alone in the world. Not necessarily lonely, but being alone. and of knowing that any attempt to reach back and find that unity is going to be met with failure in some way. And so it is that idea of feeling that sorrow, that the sorrow isn't a mistake. In fact, in some ways, you can see that as part of who we are. And when we are able to experience that sorrow as an adult, not as a child who's looking, you know, at the lower part of the door, wanting to be let in, you know, to their parents, to the party, to where it's at, to, you know, that child in us who is somehow feeling excluded. When we are able to experience sorrow as something that is natural in us, then we are able to start to transmute it. We are able to, in some way, change our relationship to it, and that changes our relationship to ourselves and to others and to life. So when I look at the Ace of Discs as the foundation of that reaching for a star and yet not being fully aware of what is underneath, or looking at the star and being fully aware of what is underneath, sorrow is the state of what happens, though, to those of us, or when we look at that star in the distance and wish for that, where the barrier comes down between us and that star. And we feel cut off from something. We feel cut off from the source. We feel cut off from the light. The light of, very often, you know, the light of someone else. The light of our parents' gaze. The light of our lover's adoration. The light of popular recognition. You know, the light of our own sense of self-sufficiency, of our own sense of worth. And that is eclipsed in some way. And it's eclipsed by this very heavy, ponderous door. It's wooden. It looks wooden to me. And then it's got this grill at the top. So there's something slightly organic about it, but it also looks petrified, like petrified wood, wood that's turned to stone, which suggests something very, very old. And so there is that sorrow of feeling like there is a being cut off from source. And that figure is reflected there, you know, hunched shoulders, looking down, looking very small. It's funny how it's the same size as the figure in the Ace of Discs and yet seems quite diminished. And also colour is washed out as well. So very much in the shadows. And I think that that's very often what we will feel like when we have placed our eggs in baskets outside of ourselves, whether we've placed them with someone else, with something else. And then that is cut off, and then we feel cut off. But actually, the truth of the matter is that everything that we have is already there. That beautiful disc, that lovely, it looks like hematite, which is blood hematite, heme, is that hematite stone is underneath. It's already there with us. It's there still. The sorrow is swords, it's the mind, it's the perception of being cut off, it's not the truth of what it is. We may need to change our perception of what it is that we felt was feeding us, or what it is that we need. What we want may be cut off, what we need is there. And so there's the sorrow, but then you've got the other two words as well. You've got not clear. Not clear because looking in one direction when actually the truth, what you're really looking for, is right there. It is on this side of the door. You know, doubt. Again, doubt because perhaps you have, you know that. Perhaps you know that intellectually, that what you're looking for out there is never going to serve. I mean, the number of times I've said to myself, well, yes, of course, I'm getting what I need and not what I want. And yes, the power is in you, Sarah. And yes, you know, you mustn't rely on everyone, you know, anyone else to bring you your own sense of happiness and worth. Well, I can tell myself that. But in those moments where I feel tested about that, I may doubt that. And there's that idea of doubt. You know, am I really, you know, on the right track when I stop hoping for that knight in shining armor? Is this really what I'm for? Is this really going to work? And so that can there can be a moment of uncertainty when you're sort of switching from auxiliary power to your own power. You know, you are switching your source of what is important, your source of what feeds you, what nourishes you. When you switch it away from something outside of you and you start to bring it to something that's inside of you, you can have that moment, and that moment can last a very long time, where there is doubt. It's like, what's going on here? And it can feel a bit like walking in the wilderness. And that is simply because things are being rewired. When I was working as a therapist and as being somebody in therapy, one of the most difficult things to bear is the not knowing. And are those moments when nothing appears to be happening, or there is what feels to be a kind of lull, or there is nothing coming in to save the day, nothing. And that absence of something is really something that's worth with sticking out, you know, with as much forbearance and as much dignity as possible. And believe you me, I did not have much dignity and forbearance at times in my own work, and still don't. But then to be reconnected to something that is much closer to home, that connection out needs to be, that door needs to be there. It's shitty. That door, that sorrow is crap. It feels awful. I am not diminishing, belittling any of the feelings around the idea of the Three of Swords. There is a reason why we, you know, we suck our breath through our teeth when we see the Three of Swords. Like, it's because we all know what that feels like. It's not a pleasant feeling. It is a deeply unpleasant feeling. That sense of being cut off from someone or something. But if we can bear it, then we start to get what we need rather than what we want. There was a saying that came to me actually with the Ace of Discs and sorrow in this, the Three of Swords in this context. And I think it comes from the big book, AA. And that is what you come here looking for, you come here looking with. And that's the Ace of Discs in the context of this card. What you come here looking for, you come here looking with. It is a crappy proposition at the beginning of this kind of work to realize that you are the one who is there for you. That there may be others at times, and there may be others that you wish were there and who could never be there. But you are the one who is there. And it doesn't mean that you need to do this alone. It's just that you need to be one of the people who is picking up the rope and pulling it. Or, you know, or picking up the rope and then saying to other people, here, I've got this, can you help me? You know, rather than standing there looking at this rope that's on the ground and going, oh, I don't know what to do, I wish somebody would come here and help me with this. Is that you have to be your own advocate. And that does not feel good at first. In fact, it can feel, if it doesn't feel bad, it can feel strange. It can feel odd doing this. It can feel vulnerable, you know, stepping out and doing this. That new venture, for example, that you may want but you resist, can feel scary because it's vulnerable. It's vulnerable sticking your head above the parapet. It's vulnerable lowering down the drawbridge and crossing the moat and going out into the big wide world. And then maybe you have second thoughts when you're crossing the drawbridge and you're thinking, oh my goodness, you know, I just want to turn around and go back into the safety of my castle because I'm out here alone and I don't know if I can do it. And can't I just send someone ahead of me so that they can just make sure everything's okay? Yeah, you know, that's this reading is suggesting no. This is something you need to do alone with others, but first you need to do it alone. This thing that you are looking for is what you are looking with, and you know this because it's foundational. And then this idea of sorrow and being cut off is something really that perhaps each of us who go into this reading need to contend with an experience to understand that the truth of the Three of Swords is different from what it is that we feared, and it is different from what it is that we have experienced before. Because remember, the Three of Swords is something that has already happened in terms of it's being a three, not because it's foundational, but simply because when we can recognize the state of the Three of Swords, it is because we have known it. We can't recognize it if we don't know what it is. So to put this in another way, for example, the Three of Swords in other decks is very much the idea of, for example, a love triangle. Now, a love triangle is one that many people find themselves in, and it may not necessarily have got as messy as, you know, people actually being physically involved with each other. But for example, somebody saying, why is it that I'm always attracted to people who are unavailable? Why is it that I choose people who don't have time for me? Because of course they are available to someone else, or they have time for someone else. So there's your love triangle. Well, then one of the key things to do is to go back. You know, so the ultimate love triangle, just to make damn sure that you know that this is a Sarah Taylor reading, is the Oedipal triangle. I will always take it back to the psychology of the family. It is the Oedipal situation where the child needs to resolve that the parents are, you know, a unit, a closed unit in and of themselves, and the child then needs to grow up and leave home, both physically but also emotionally and psychological. Now, I know that the Oedipal triangle is one that is it's rejected by a lot of people. That's fine. If you then come up with your own example with this, the idea of wanting something that is unavailable, of feeling like you want to be a part of something but by nature of the circumstances you are excluded. But I think it holds true, and I think for many of us it is the blueprint for exclusion as we feel as we grow older. It is the blueprint for choosing people who are not available. And then also looking at other ways of this playing out. So if there was an absent parent, then that idea of not being attached to a source. You know, if there was the idea of anything in your childhood that was marked by absence, or in your formative years, in your teens, where was it that something was never there or was taken away? And then how is it that you experience that and re-experience that now? And so the theme for this month is interesting, because I think that there is an opportunity here to have that come up again, but perhaps not in the way that you're expecting or fearing, or to have that come up again so that you can re-experience it and choose something differently, even if it's simply to notice the pattern itself or to notice why it's happening. And then to understand the truth behind it, which is that hematite disc is under your feet already. There is nothing that you are missing that you don't already have. And I know that that can sound glib when your heart is broken and you are looking at this door that is not letting you through. But it is the truth in a particular situation. It is the truth. There is nothing that you need that you don't already have. You may not get it in the form that you want, but you get what you need. And so then we go over to the final card, which is the agency card. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out. And we have another disc card, which is the Prince of Discs. So we have this very large figure now. He takes his head and neck take up, gosh, nearly most of the card. So much, much bigger than the two small figures in the reading. And for me, that spells the idea of the arrival of an archetype, the arrival of an archetypal way of being. And because it's almost as if it's like a massive statue on Mount Olympus with the human very small at the bottom of it. So it's almost a reminder of what it is that is available and is part of that Ace of Discs, that hematite sphere that is there. The Prince of Discs is part of that. So the way that you can engage meaningfully, and the Prince of Discs is a really good way to do this, is by playing the long game and being patient. The Prince of Discs, the Prince is the knight in say the Waitsmith tarot. So not the most junior one of the court cards, but is not one of the senior ones. And so there is, for me, it's not really about being young, but it's more about being, it's a way of being out in the world. Whereas the knight, or the king, and the queen are back in the court, and they know that they need nothing. The Prince of Discs, in a way, is about experiencing the idea of being enough in and of himself. He moves meticulously. If you look at the Prince of Discs and the drawings on his helmet, they are plans. They are very carefully drawn out. It's almost as if there is a life plan here. And it looks old. It looks like it's going to take time. It feels like it's old. So in other words, it's seated in your own architecture, your own soul architecture. There is that feeling of being able to reach back in time and understand a structure that underlies everything. But also there is a building towards something as well, in a really careful way. So I know that one of the temptations with being in Three of Swords territory is to want to resolve it as quickly as possible, because of course, who wants to sit and feel that kind of feeling? But the Prince of Discs is perfect because while a part of you may balk and go, oh my goodness, do I have to be patient while I endure? Actually, for the Prince of Discs, that's not really what he is. He doesn't have to endure it grimacing. The Prince of Discs is built to endure it. So in other words, it's not going to be the kind of torture that it may feel like. The Prince of Discs is just the person to start going, right, let's dot the I's and cross the T's here. Let's make sure that everything is covered. Let's make provision for the fact that things are going to be the way that they are for a little while. And how about we work through them in a way that is not only meticulous, but also in a way that that has a rhythm to it, that is committed, that commits again, you know, that is able to work in a way that has a sense to it. So I think that this is really about working towards a master plan, but not forgetting that the way that a master plan comes into action is by putting down one block of stone at a time, one brick at a time, one bit of wiring at a time, one water course at a time. It's not about, you can't just snap your fingers and want the whole structure to come up, because first of all, it won't happen. And secondly, it's not going to be yours. It won't have the integrity of the fact that you have loved it and willed it into being, that you have nurtured it through its every iteration until it comes to where it is. So it is a commitment to a process, and the Prince of Discs is exactly the kind of person who you would want with this. He doesn't want to rush ahead. And not only that, he wants to look it square on. So look, he is right there facing the Three of Swords, almost looking past the Three of Swords to the Ace of Discs. He knows what he's going for. He knows that. There is a part of you that knows that as well. The sorrow thing is almost an interference in the way to bringing through something else. And you may not feel that now. It's not going to necessarily feel insignificant. It may not. It may feel incredibly significant. But actually, it's a diversion. It is a diversion from the true work. It is a diversion from your art. And your art is you and your life. And how careful are you prepared to be to bring that through? How committed are you to be able to see that through every step of the way? You know, what are you for if you're not for this? And the Three of Swords will reveal themselves at some point to be a pattern, to be something that you both know and that you can also lay to one side at some point, that you don't need that anymore. You won't need to force your way through a door that's impenetrable. You will just simply turn around and walk off. You don't need that. You don't need to dwarf yourself in the face of a pattern that feels like you can't undo it. And the reason why you can't undo it is that it is not there to be undone, solved. You're not there to get to that light source in the distance. You're not there to move that door in a way. You're there to step out of that, to acknowledge what it is, which is not insignificant. It's not to say that the Three of Swords is nothing. The Three of Swords is a keystone in the structure that you are building. The experience of feeling separate can be part of what it is that you're constructing, but it doesn't have to be the thing that shrouds everything in pain and clouds. It is simply one part of a much bigger structure that is you and that is your life. At the moment, it feels like it's overwhelming. It may feel like it could dwarf you at certain points. And again, it may not be the whole month. It's not as if I'm saying that the Three of Swords is going to define your month, but in some way it will define your life, and in some way it will present itself this month. And it may be something that you contend with on a larger scale, but it may also be the revisiting of something where you see it differently and you just simply step away, not ignoring the Three of Swords, not ignoring the sorrow, but understanding that it is a part of you, that this is who you are, that as well as many other things, that the sorrow can be something that you integrate and you move on with. So give sorrow its due, but understand that it is one of many building blocks. And while it may feel bigger than anything else at some point over the next few weeks, it is there for you to be able to look at it in a new way, and then to be able to realize what it is that is there with you and has been with you all the time, and not out in the distance in some unreachable galaxy. And the Prince of Discs as the court card will be what you can embody to bring this. So the Prince of Discs is an archetype, but it's one that we can bring through. Court cards are aspects of our personality. And so being the Prince of Discs, he is the air aspect of Earth, which means that then he can apply his intellectual resources to being able to deal with material resources. So get practical. This is about being practical. It doesn't necessarily mean working with your hands, but it is about engaging practically with the matter at hand. And that may be having to phone up and make an appointment with somebody for the first time, or approaching somebody with what it is that you are dealing with. Sitting down and talking something through, being able to work something out, being able to be analytical, but in a practical way where the analysis yields some kind of tangible result, or where it is enacted tangibly. In other words, it's not just thinking about it and then moving on, because then you're stuck in Three of Swords territory again. But it is about thinking about it and then committing to some kind of change. And that can be micro. This is not necessarily about grand gestures, because that's not what the Prince of Discs is about at all. It is about those very small gestures that all count towards something bigger. And the Prince of Discs knows this better than anyone, because he is the architect, and therefore he knows the time and energy and commitment that it takes to bring something through and to construct something. And of course, what you are constructing is you, is your life. What you are rediscovering is what was already there. I hope that in some way speaks to you for this month. And if you have any questions or comments, then please do send them my way. Otherwise, take good care.